You are listening to Insight here on Capital Public Radio. I'm Randall White. Accessing the job market can be especially difficult for adults with autism spectrum disorder, or ASD, as you'll hear it a lot in this conversation. At least one study shows they tend to earn less and have fewer job options than others their age, including people with other kinds of disabilities. But recently, companies have been working to recruit and retain these underrepresented workers. A state-funded pilot project could accelerate those efforts. It will launch soon in Sacramento, also Los Angeles. A group of adults with autism are taking the lead to build the program in Sacramento, part of what's known as Breaking Barriers. That's a pilot project. To talk about this, we're joined by Caroline Eggert, who is part of that effort. Caroline, thank you for joining us in the Insight studio.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined on the phone by Michael Burnick, a consultant for the California Workforce Association. He's an employment attorney and the former director of the California Employment Development Department. Welcome to Insight, Michael.
Thank you.
And Michael, I am going to start with you. You've been working in this specific area of employment for more than 20 years. Describe some of the major barriers adults with ASD face.
Well, first let me say that I have been working for 20 years, and things have changed a lot in the sense that, as you mentioned in the introduction, there are now a number of targeted initiatives by major companies here in California, SAP, Microsoft, J.P. Morgan Chase, probably 20 major companies that have targeted autism at work programs that we didn't have before. There are family members and others starting these autism-focused businesses. And just because of the prevalence of autism, when I first started in the 90s, early 90s, if you mentioned autism, people might know Rain Man. Now everyone says, I have a niece, nephew, neighbor. So there's a lot of interest in this that there wasn't before, and a lot of activity. Still, as you also mentioned in the introduction, the unemployment rates, the estimated unemployment rates, we really don't have a lot of good numbers, but the estimated rates are still 70% or so of our autism community adults who are not in any type of steady employment or employment more than very marginal.
And you mentioned the Rain Man comparison. To pigeonhole everyone with ASD using that one stereotype, it's just highly inaccurate. For every person with ASD, it's different, correct?
It's the first principle. The very first principle, Randall, of autism employment is, you know, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person. The range is so great in terms of skills, interests, abilities. So I only mentioned Rain Man in at that time when I started in 1990 in the autism community. That's what people thought of. Now, of course, there's a much greater public recognition.
It was really the only high-profile example we had seen in the media, and so You really can't fault people for leaning on that. But as a society, we've really learned so much over those years. Why would you say that there is a traditionally high unemployment rate among people on the spectrum?
Well, again, it is a spectrum and a range. There are certain common, though, barriers. Some of these barriers involve interviewing and just the hiring process. But to me, a greater number of the barriers involve once one is on the job, keeping the job, and the supports necessary. Often they differ among individuals, but supports necessary on the job in terms of job coaching, in terms of buy-in from all levels of the company, so that what we've seen is that people are able to get jobs at times, but not able to keep them. And that's why I think this new program that Meristem is doing is so promising, really two reasons. One, it focuses on the retention side, and two, what it does that we haven't really seen as much is that it involves adults, young adults in this case, on the spectrum, actually designing and being involved in speaking and taking the lead, and that's a key element.
And Meristem is a school in Fair Oaks that has trained people with autism to be successful in the workplace.
Yes.
So this new pilot program will really just greatly expand that.
It'll expand that. It'll also, really is aimed at working with employers statewide. As you said, there are two pilots, one in Sacramento and one in Los Angeles, but working with employers statewide to try to develop new models driven by young adults on the autism spectrum, new models of employment and retention.
And we have one of those very people with us right here. Caroline, you started at Meristem when you were 25.
Yes.
You're 29 now. How did this school help you grow as a person and also as a professional?
I'll start with as a person. I feel like I've gained, my confidence has grown a lot. I'm not as lonely as I was before because I used to live in Midtown and I had my own apartment, but I lived by myself and it was difficult because I got really sad and really lonely.
You found yourself self-isolating.
I did.
Uh-huh. And confidence just, it's so important.
Yeah, I feel like confidence, there are areas I could work on with my confidence, but I feel like it has gotten a lot better.
I mean, you're here on the radio right now.
I know. It's like, it's my first time on the radio, and it takes some confidence to do that. I wouldn't have been able to do this when I was 25.
And that confidence then bleeds over into your professional life.
Yes. I remember I was really nervous when I was 25 to go outside my comfort zone.
You were working for your dad at the time?
I was, full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do work two part-time jobs right now. I work for my dad part-time, and I work for a company called Weave part-time, Women Escaping a Violent Environment. And I think my passion lies at Weave. It's a really great cause, and I really enjoy working there.
Yeah, Weave is a well-known organization here in the Sacramento area, and you might not be doing that today if it weren't for what you learned at Meristem.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have even pushed myself to apply with the help of Meristem if it wasn't for being at Meristem.
Help us understand, Caroline, misconceptions that employers might have about people on the spectrum.
I think that trying to put myself in the mind of the employer, if I hire someone and they tell me that they have autism or on the autism spectrum, this could be a liability for me and my company for hiring them.
So then they would be reluctant to make that hire.
Maybe they can't do the job as well. Maybe they're incapable. And it's really, I haven't experienced that firsthand, but if I were to experience that and I were on the job market looking, it would be very disheartening.
Do you think that there are employers who think that you and other people on the spectrum can do the job as well, but that they might have their own insecurities about how to interact with people on the spectrum?
I think so. I think that there might be, some people might have stereotypes. I don't think, and I think that for the most part, it's not malicious intent. It's that just thinking like, I don't know, how is this going to work out? But what I want people to know about people who have autism and might have extra struggles. Yeah, it's human to have extra struggles, whether it's in the workplace, out in the world, or both. But in the workplace, speaking for myself, and I'm sure many others, it's for myself, I aim to please. I try really hard to do a good job. I try to I try to work my hardest when I'm at Weave and at Anton. So it's, I think,
Well, I think that one thing we try to do here on the radio is connect with our listeners so that they can really grasp what we're talking about. And you totally did that when you said that we all have struggles as humans. So you're doing pretty well. I think connecting with our listeners is what we always try to do. So Meristem has opportunities for students to learn in a lot of different areas. I understand it, ceramics, how to grow food, run a cafe. What job skills did you gain when you were there?
I learned focus. I learned just focusing on my task and not trying not to get distracted. I learned balance between if you're holding a conversation with someone while you're working at the same time, not leaning too much on the conversation, but finding a balance in your work. I learned a lot of that when I was in metals in my coppersmithing class at Meristem, especially my first and second year. And I learned good work ethic.
Yeah, coppersmithing. Wow.
I know.
I wish I knew how to do that.
Yeah.
So,
you can see, Randall, the value. She speaks more poignantly and accurately about this than anyone. That's the value of this Meristem project. It's really driven by, again, adults on the spectrum, people like Caroline, who can really speak best to how we should be developing programs in the future.
And Michael, taking that voice directly to lawmakers, as Caroline, you did, the bill that made Breaking Barriers, the pilot project, possible was SB 866. Last year, Caroline, you and fellow Meristem students spoke to legislators about the importance of the program. What was that like for you, talking to lawmakers? I mean, this is your first time on the radio, but that was your first time doing that, correct?
I know. It was exciting, but there are also some nerves because I'm not a great public speaker. I'm not naturally a great public speaker, but because it's being at the state capitol, it's pretty great by itself. But when we went into that room with the assembly people, when we had the microphones,
it can be overwhelming for anyone.
Yeah, it's.
Well, it worked. You got it passed, right?
I know. It's finding that inner courage and setting a pause. Something that I learned from someone it was a life coach that I worked with before Meristem was setting an intention for how you want it to go. Setting a positive intention and then believing in that.
We can all learn from that.
That helps.
I should clarify that SB 866 did not pass, but a bill after that did, as I understand it, to help breaking barriers. We're speaking with Meristem graduate Caroline Eggert about education and training opportunities for people with Autism Spectrum Disorder, or ASD. We're also hearing from Michael Burnick, an employment attorney and consultant for the California Workforce Association. We'd like to now add Valerie Bode Garrett to the conversation. She's a Meristem employee, and she's here in studio. Valerie, welcome to Insight.
Thank you, Randall.
So, Valerie, I want to ask you to help describe your role with the Transformational Advocacy Project, or TAP. This is part of Breaking Barriers?
Yes, it is. TAP is manifesting the impulse of breaking barriers, and that's the name that the students themselves developed in our first weeks of our leadership lab, and Caroline was one of the co-chairs of that group of 12 leaders at Meristem to come up with our own name for how we're going to implement the project. So TAP is the acronym for Transformational Advocacy Project, and in the work of TAP, we aim to transform the workplace for all of those with disabilities and including those with autism.
It's in Sacramento and Los Angeles, but this is a statewide effort.
Yes, we are launching it actually today. You mentioned soon, and right now.
That's very soon.
As we speak, we have our first team at the Fair Oaks Park setting up for the first night of their summer concert series. So our first job crew is out there working in the community right now.
How will those employer trainings work?
So we have a great network of community organizations and employers who have stepped up to welcome our first 3-week jobs internship where we're actually testing our ideas on best practices in the workplace. And we're going to take what we learn from the next 3 weeks and form it into a working manual, a living document, and then we'll go and redo the program in Los Angeles and test out the newly expanded ideas toward developing a new kind of training for employers to open the doors for those on the spectrum.
Do the companies have to pay to be part of this?
Oh, no. In fact, we are paying our workers, our young adults on the spectrum, to actually have this job and to be on these crews. And I'd like to make a shout out to Dave Gaines at the Sacramento Autism and Special Needs Alliance for helping us reach out to community young adults on the spectrum beyond those at Meristem. And also we have 7 employers and organizations that have offered to open the doors and let our teams of young adults with a job coach be on site and do professional work. May I mention a few of them?
You can't. How many are we talking about?
I can speak quickly.
Yes, go ahead.
We want to mention Eschaton and House to Home Moving, Flapjack's Diner, Plates Midtown Restaurant, the Orangeville Fair Oaks Food Bank, and Fair Oaks Parks and Rec.
That was a nice short. That's good. And congrats to those places as well. Michael, I want to bring you back into the conversation here for a question that our healthcare reporter, Sammy Kayola, asked me to pass along. Historically, we've seen some adults on the spectrum working in what's called sheltered employment environments alongside other people with disabilities at less than a minimum wage. What is your take on that model?
Well, this has been a longstanding discussion in the community. My own view is that sheltered workshops do have a place. It's not the majority view, by the way, Randall, but my experience is that for a certain segment of our population, sheltered workshops, it's either sheltered workshops or nothing, and getting people out of their houses and into some activity. Now, I agree with the fact that we do have to work on ways to increase the wages and get them, if possible, up to minimum wage. But I think the sheltered workshop, and you have a great example, perhaps the best example in the state here with Pride Industries. They've had sheltered workshops for years, and they play an important role. They're not for everyone, but they're an important role for part of the population. And I think it's the thrust of policy over the past 20 years has been to try to transition away from sheltered workshops to community-based employment, and in general that's good, but support, in my experience, supported work still has an important role.
Yeah, and breaking barriers in TAP helps to move past that, right?
Well, yeah, no, that's entirely, Meristem, TAP, Valerie, Carolyn are entirely focused on community employment, and that should be the goal, but it's not always viable, and I think, we need a range of options.
I see.
Employment options, and sheltered workshops have one place to play.
So in terms of breaking barriers and TAP, Caroline, how do you hope this project will help younger generations of adults with ASD?
Something I was saying, I think it was back in January in one of our first TAP meetings, was that I hope that through our work at Meristem and through our work at TAP, that we can help. Maybe there's a 2-year-old out there who was just diagnosed with autism. Maybe we can help create a brighter future for them.
Excellent.
That's my bottom line.
That's Meristem graduate Caroline Eggert. You just heard from Caroline. Thank you so much for being on Insight, and congratulations on successfully doing your first time on the radio.
Thank you.
Also, we've been speaking to Michael Burnick, a consultant for the California Workforce Association. He's an employment attorney with Duane Morris LLP. Michael, thank you for your insight. And also TAP Program Director and Meristem employee Valerie Bode. Garrett, thank you as well for being here on Insight today.
Our pleasure.
We have more information about our discussion at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight. This is your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.
Thank you.